From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. As we continue our special reporting from Into Action, the pop-up art exhibit and conference in Los Angeles taking place from January 13th through 21st, we'll turn next to one of the more than 100 artists whose provocative and powerful works were displayed for the public. More information, including images of the artwork, can be found online at into-action.us.
My name is Amatisse Motavalli. I'm a visual artist, and I'm here because, well, we're standing next to some of my pieces, and also because this has kind of become the epicenter for political art in LA right now. So
you're one of dozens of artists whose art has been featured at Into Action?
Yes, yes.
And so it was curated. This is part of a curated exhibit, but also there was an open call. How did you get involved in this?
So Yossi Sargent, who was organized a few of these types of exhibitions, reached out to me and asked me if I wanted to participate. So I had a conversation with him, and it just in the first conversation, I could kind of tell that he was a huge supporter of artists. And for someone who makes political work, it's difficult to get a lot of people supporting you, especially in the art world. So someone who actually, Yossi is actually someone who supports political artists in particular. So I was super excited at that point to be involved. And I was like, yeah, sure, anything you want. Well, you know.
So tell us about these two pieces. We're standing in front of one, which looks like it's a painting of oil rigs.
Right. So these pieces are from a series called Reaiming the Cannon. I did it a long time ago, actually. This is from 2005, and it was out of my hands for many years. So I didn't actually have them in my possession. They were in Tehran at a gallery. And then I finally got them back a few months ago. But Reaiming the Cannon was kind of, what I did was I got a lot of images from, photojournalistic images from Headline News. And I isolated them from their context. And then I created my own kind of like fantasy of a revolution. And I changed it up. So these are kind of the tamer pieces. This right here, the oil derricks, is the title is Blow 'em Up. To blow up their means of production. That's what it's called. Blow up their means of production. But basically, it was all this kind of fantasy of a revolution, just based on things that my mentors had told me, things that they had fantasized about when they were struggling for revolution in the 60s and 70s. So I kind of made it more about today. And I got images, and I changed them up. Like, there's actually one entire regime, a procession, a funeral procession of a Hamas attorney that was the cousin of a friend of mine. So he shows me the picture that was in the LA Times. It looked like a beautiful river. And so I got this image of, you know, all of the people in Hamas that were in this procession, and I changed them up a little bit. So I made everyone look a lot more femme, and I changed up their headbands. So there's just like tiny little changes in these Headline News images.
So in a way, you're recreating the vision of what you would like to see play out?
Yes, exactly, exactly.
So tell me about the other piece that we're standing next to. It just looks like a very tall palm trees lining a street we don't see.
Right. So it's the landscape of a lot of different places, and a lot of places that I know of that are yearning for revolution. And so this image right here was not from from news headlines. This is 57th Street. So close
in Los Angeles.
Yes, in Los Angeles. I went and took the photo because my imagination took it here as well. This is where I wanted to have that revolution. So the tall palm trees, I heard a story once a long time ago from people who were involved in the Watts Rebellion, and they said, you know, we had a plan because there were so many military coming into our neighborhood. We were going to drop down these palm trees so that they can block all the pigs from coming into the neighborhood. So the name of the piece is Drop Them to Block the Pigs.
So you mentioned that the piece that we're standing in front of was in Tehran. Your background, you're an Iranian-American artist. How does your background from a country that is experiencing and has experienced waves of, you know, of people, very recently even, people wanting to change their government, does that inform your art?
Well, it does, absolutely. I mean, it does. My family came here before the revolution. So, I mean, we recognize that there was a revolution in 1979. And we came to flee from the Shah. So, you know, there's been a lot of complexity. And I do see what's going on in Iran. And I do see the kind of meddling, the hands, the Western hands. My work and my philosophy has always been, let the people do what they want. Let the people have the say that they want. So I'm really all about the grassroots changing what they want to.
How does art play a role? I mean, it seems like art has a power that is very deep, but not easy to pin down or describe.
Right. I mean, the whole point is, especially when I create my work, I definitely want there to be an initial image. So you see something right away, but I want you to walk away and think about a lot of other things. Because this right here, what I'm really talking about is iconic codes, right? So I'm talking about visual codes. I'm talking about visual language. I'm talking about the way that news in particular twists our version of what becomes eventually history, right? So all of the series that I've worked on has been, in a way, looking at visual codes and looking at the way visual codes are manipulated. And I manipulate them myself. I manipulate them in a way that's intentional, because I really want my viewers to look at work and say, manipulation, yes, absolutely it happens. But, I mean, tons of other layers that I put in there, especially, you know, using gouache on paper. That's like 1950s graphic design paint, right? So really kind of making reference to a lot of kind of marketing techniques, kind of the roots of Western marketing techniques.
Yeah. But subverting that.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I remember during the Bush years, which is our most sort of recent comparison to what we're experiencing today, there was a lot of political art that flourished. It was actually a sort of a artistic revolution. Are you seeing that happening now? I know it's only been a year, and it's almost too easy because Trump is a figure that's, you know, sort of dangerously comical.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, even more, actually. During the time of Bush, people were a little bit scared. And surprisingly, people are not as scared now. Yeah, so, I have to be, I mean, it might get pretty scary pretty soon, but it was frightening. I mean, the many times that I got stopped by FBI, that I got, you know, materials taken away from me during that time was horrific. And it happened also during Obama. That was an unpopular time, actually, to create political art, because everyone was like, hey, things are cool, let's not question it. For me, they weren't. And also, I was still talking about visual codes. I was still talking about where's the voice of the people, you know?
So going forward, as we see this sort of unending stretch of the Trump administration, you know, people thought he wouldn't last a year. He has lasted. He seems like he's going to last possibly through the end of this term. What are your challenges? What do you feel as an artist? You said you did these pieces a long time ago. Do you have anything new on the horizon that today's political situation is informing you to want to create?
I mean, I've had work on the horizon all along. It's always been about decolonization.
No matter who's in power.
Right. And no matter who's in power, because the truth is, it happened. I mean, we're living in colonial land, right? So I'm interested in that. So everything that I do is some kind of research, something looking at the roots of the problems that we're in today. There's a series I'm working on right now that's kind of about horticulture and the roots of colonial horticulture. Hard to say. Colonial horticulture. And then also kind of looking at the time of the Crusades, when a lot of the early actions that became eventually colonization happened.
So finally, any thoughts for aspiring artists? Because as you said, it isn't easy to do political art. There are not that many venues that open their galleries to very strongly political art. We're still often stuck in this art for art's sake. Let's not be too provocative. So for those aspiring political artists out there, any words of wisdom?
I mean, all art is political. If you're making abstraction and staying away from politics, you're in some way working very politically, right? I mean, the art market is all about capital, so it's completely political. When I work with students, I often talk about, you know, work from your heart, work from your experience. Start there, and then do research based on your personal experience, what you're feeling, and spiral out and see how that research connects you with the entire world. Be international about it. You know, think about like how your work is going to speak to someone across the globe. And once you do that, your work might go in the direction of politics that you agree with, you know. But unfortunately, when I go to art schools, most students, they just want a show. And there's an art market that's very oppressive. So they just want a show, and they will make anything so that they can get into galleries. They might want to make some political work, but they want a show and they want to sell. They want to actually have a lucrative career and get some attention, you know, not constantly be swept under the rug and not constantly be stopped by the feds. Because when I tell them stories like that, you know, they get a little discouraged. But ultimately, in a lot of ways, I'm so much happier.
It's more fulfilling and meaningful to be true to yourself, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
Is it harder being a woman artist?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I mean, a person of color in the United States, a woman. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, still to this day, a woman's word just somehow doesn't carry the same weight as a man's. So see that on the day-to-day.
Yeah, I mean, we've just heard in Hollywood that women are finding out how much less they're getting paid than their male counterparts. I'm guessing it's similar in the art world, where the paintings of men sell for comparable paintings of men sell for a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely been a lot of work done around the market and who's showing in which galleries and what it's going for. I'm personally not interested in that, because actually, I'm not a part of that world. I don't buy into the market. If the market, you know, comes around and wants to like sell some of my work, cool, whatever. I like the money. I need the money. I like to eat, but if they don't, you know, it's okay. So it's just a different trajectory.
Well, we'll post a link to your website from our website later today, so people can discover more of your work. Good luck to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ami Motavalli is an artist whose work has been displayed alongside more than 100 other artists at a pop-up event in Los Angeles called Into Action. More information about her work is available at amitismotavalli.com, AmitismotavalliI.com. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.